أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. We are fortunate, we are blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us another day, another opportunity to seek His closeness, to get closer to Him, to seek His forgiveness and to seek His mercy. We can see before our very eyes some of our friends and family members who were with us yesterday are not with us here today. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a reminder that we should maximize the time that we have and make every opportunity and maximize the opportunities that we have been given and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue insha'Allah al-Aziz on our journey of understanding the beauty and the meaning of salah. We've understood its virtues, we've understood its descriptions given to us by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and embedded within the Qur'an. We've also talked about the importance of intentions, to purify our intentions, to make the foundation and the backbone of our salah via our intentions, to maximize them, to multiply our intentions, and to truly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a present heart, with a present mind, with a present body and soul. And then yesterday, alhamdulillah, we began our journey in understanding the importance of wudu, which is the key to salah. And the key of salah would then also lead us to the key of Jannah. So wudu is absolutely imperative for us to understand, for us to perfect, just the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us. And with that purification of the body, purification of the tongue and the heart and the soul, only and only then will we be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. So we did wudu yesterday, alhamdulillah, in quite a lot of detail, how it expiates and washes away and removes our sins, how the Prophet ﷺ will recognize his ummah due to the kasratul wudu, due to the excessive and abundant amount of wudu that they did during their lifetime, and how even in a state of sleeping and resting, angels are praying for us every time we turn. And when we do the dua after the completion of wudu, that is also a means for our forgiveness and for also our entry into the gardens of paradise. And we very quickly went through all of the practical steps of wudu, which is first to do the intention, to say the tasmiyah, to say the basmala, and then to begin with the right hand, and then obviously through the mouth and the nose and the face and the entirety of the face we discussed, from the arms to the elbows, and also the correct method of doing masah over our heads, which includes the back of our neck and then inside our ears and the back of our ears as well, and then also the feet and the ankles, which we did in a lot of detail. And these are very, very important things, because if the wudu is incomplete, or if your hair is still dry, and if your skin is still dry and all of these essential parts, then your wudu will be invalid and incomplete, and therefore vis-a-vis your salah will also be invalid and incomplete and not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important part of that physical purification. But when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants us to be pure of our sins. And we remove all of those sins from our eyes, our nose, our ears, our face, and our hands and our feet by the actions of wudu. We come on to today, inshallah al-Aziz, a topic of discussion in salah, which is about having feeling in our salah. Having feeling in our salah, and this might be a bit difficult to digest for the men, for the boys, because we are quite, strong in our emotions and our feelings, and we don't like to express our feelings, whereas our counterparts, our women, our sisters, our daughters and ladies, they readily express their emotions and their feelings all the time. But we are often called patthar dil, and we are told that it's easier to get blood out of a stone than it is to get emotions out of a man. But nevertheless, we see this is something that we need to work on as human beings, as males especially, because we see the prime example of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he didn't shy away from expressing his emotions, from sharing his feelings, most importantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then how he used to share it with the Sahaba ikram, how he used to share it with children, how he used to share and express it even with his wife and with his own children and all of those that were around him, whether they liked him or disliked him. So it doesn't make you less of a man or less of a macho man if you express your feelings to other people. What we need to do most importantly is start developing to express our feelings and emotions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, inshallah, what we'll discuss today very briefly, the feelings and emotions in our salah, in our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also, inshallah, very quickly on raja, on having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to start off with a shi'r, with a poem that I read about 12 years ago, perhaps even longer, and I don't even know if I remember it correctly, but it was one by Ibrahim ibn Adham. It's a very, very powerful shi'r and poem that I read. But it describes his feelings and his kayfiyya, how he felt when he saw the Kaaba for the first time, when he traveled towards the Kaaba, and when he was in a state of complete ecstasy and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really expressing his feelings and emotions. Yes, he's a man. Yes, he's a great, obviously, person of that time, and a great poet for us as well. But so were other Sahaba ikram, and they also expressed their feelings and their emotions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that we should not shy from. So he starts off with hajartul khalqa turran fi hawaka wa aitamtul iyala likay araka, that I have done hijra, that and I have left everybody in creation, okay, and I have made my children yateen. You know, when you leave your children, you orphan your children, they have no sire over their head, they have nobody to support them. So this is the feeling that he's expressing, that I've left every single being in creation, I've even orphaned my children. Why? Likay araka, so that I could come and visit you and see you, my Lord. This is his feeling. Yes, he's a poet, but at the same time, as a human being, you can see how he is connecting his emotions and expressing that, especially with his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also for salah. لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْأَلْيَا لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ إِلَهِ عَبْدُكَ الْعَاصِي أَتَاكَ, that indeed my Lord, O my Rabb, O my Creator, I am your servant and I am your slave. عَبْدُكَ الْعَاصِي, and even though I am sinful, I am full of sins, and this includes all of us, that we all stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some sins. Yes, those smaller sins and those minor sins are washed away when we do wudu, but the major sins are still with us. And in order to get rid of those really, really difficult stains on ourselves and on our soul and also on our heart, we really have to work really, really hard. Really, really hard to get rid of them. So he gives this, you know, he does this i'taraf that, you know, إِلَهِ عَبْدُكَ الْعَاصِي أَتَاكَ, indeed here I am, I'm standing before you, my Lord. مُقِرًّا بِالزُّنُوبِ وَقَدْ دَعَاكَ, that I do i'taraf, I affirm all of the things that I have done, but I'm still calling out to you. I'm still calling out to you. تَجَاوَزْ عَنْ ضَعِيفٍ قَدْ أَدَاكَ قَدْ أَتَاكَ وَجَاءَ رَاجِيًا يَرْجُو نِدَاكَ, that overlook this weak individual, that even though I have committed so many sins and I have transgressed and I have forgotten so many things, تَجَاوَزْ, overlook all of this, عَنْ ضَعِيفٍ, over this very, very weak slave, because I have come to you. وَجَاءَ رَاجِيًا يَرْجُو نِدَاكَ, that I have come with this great hope, with this great hope, this raja, that you will come and you will, and I will come to you and I will call out to you and you will hear me and you will listen to me. So this is obviously one part of that poem, and it continues quite extensively. But I wanted to share this with you because it's very important for us to have feelings as human beings, for us to have feelings, especially as servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will take you away from being a robot, from being and doing things mechanically, and actually doing things sincerely. If you ask yourself, what are the most fondest memories that you have, that you remember from the time that you were born up until now? And you will realize that the most memories and the fondest memories that you have are those memories that are connected to an emotion. How you felt on that particular day, perhaps when you graduated, or how you felt when your mom or your dad said shabash to you, or when they hugged you, or when they said something to you, when they gave something to you. It's always about some emotion or some feeling, some kayfiyya, some state, that those strongest memories will always be there. Even if it's a crash, it's a strong memory embedded within you of you felt this fear, this loss, this worry of something. It's all connected back to what? to emotions and feelings. So if we want to be really close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have a strong bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to lower our shield. We need to lower that shield and become vulnerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be able to and willing to express our emotions and feelings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hesitate from expressing His emotions and His feelings as they are befitting His Majesty in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it when He is angry, when he is pleased with us, or when He's displeased with us, and all of the other things. He expresses those things very, very openly in the Quran. He talks about his love towards the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila nisfahu aw inqis minhu qalila, and various other places throughout the Quran showing and expressing these real feelings. And this is something that we really need to look into, that how much feeling do we share and express with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we just keeping this shield between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this barrier? You know, when you want to get close to your wife, you want to get close to your children, you have to become vulnerable. You have to share your deepest and your darkest secrets. You have to share those things that make you weak, that make you worry, that make you concerned. And through that, when they accept that and they hug you and they embrace you, and then they realize and they share that emotion and feeling with you, then they get closer to you. But if you never express all of these things with your wife, with your mother, with your father, with your children, then how do you ever expect them to get closer to you? They'll just say, well, I barely know this person, because they haven't shared those deepest of things. So this is the salah, the moment, the opportunity for us to share the deepest of our feelings and emotions with the greatest of being, with none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created us and designed us, the one who knows exactly what we are going through. And He just wants us to let our guard down so He can encompass us in His rahmah. He can encompass us in His forgiveness. He can embrace us and say, don't worry, I am here for you. I will remove your sorrow. I will remove your huzn. I will remove your difficulty. I will remove your worry. But it has to come from you. You have to open up your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Nuwas, he was a 7th century individual. Before he transformed himself, first initially he was just a drunkard. So he used to do ma'siyah, he used to drink, which was not befitting for a Muslim, as we know it's haram. And he was very, very rude in his behavior, in his demeanor, very, very lewd as a person. Do you know chirna, or the women as they're walking by and just teasing them and doing all of these kind of things to men and to women, and do that kind of behavior which is not befitting for a Muslim? This is his type of character. But then there came a turning point and he repented, and then he transformed himself by perfecting his wudu, and then by perfecting his salah, and then he himself also expressed this poetry as well when he saw this transformation. He says that, oh my Lord, if the greatness of my sins increase, then I know that your forgiveness is far greater than that. Subhanallah. He's encompassing the various verses of the Quran, that even if our sins were to reach the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness is far greater than that. Even if our sins were more than the foam of the oceans and the seas, if we truly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. So this is him, this expressing himself in spite of what he was, but now he's openly saying, oh my Lord, you know, if the greatness of my sins increase, then I still know that your forgiveness is far greater. If only the righteous called unto you, and this is a very, very important point to reflect on. He's saying that if only the righteous called unto you, then who would the criminal go to? This is important for us to reflect on, that the salah is there. It doesn't matter whether you are old, whether you are young, whether you are righteous, whether you are sinful. Whoever you are, be there standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show yourself, express yourself, unveil yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think I'm not worthy of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they come to me and they say, you know, how can I read the Quran? I'm not worthy of this. How can I lead the Jamaat? I'm not worthy of this. How can I go on Hajj? And how can I do all of these things when I'm so sinful? I'm not worthy of these things. No, you should never ever think like that. You're always worthy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inherently ennobled you. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. You have nobility within you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blown the soul into you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fashioned you and created you and designed you. You have this sanctity about you, this sacredness about you, because you come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in spite of all of your sins and your transgressions, you should still always stand before your Lord, ready to accept all of the things that you have done, ready to be washed and cleansed and purified, and to be embraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very simple example for us to understand is our parents. You could be young, you could be an adult, you could be a person who's married, and you could be old yourself, and you can disrespect your parents and do so many things, but your parents will still always love you. They'll still always be ready to forgive you. They'll still always be there to embrace you. This is the love of a parent, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love is far greater and far superior than that. So he says, if the only the righteous called on you, then who would the criminal ever go to? I call on you, my Lord, as you commanded, with complete reverence. And this is an example of how we need to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just think about, I'm not worthy and I shouldn't be standing and I shouldn't be doing this. Open your heart, open your mind, and open your soul, and be ready to be encompassed and embraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as human beings, if you look into our day-to-day interactions, What is our day-to-day interaction? We are always eager and we are always excited to meet very, very special friends, are we not? A friend you haven't met for many months or many years, or a friend that you had during your school time, or you used to go out during college or university, or somebody that you got on with very, very well. We are always very eager, we're always very excited to meet those people. We put in our diary, we have it in our mind, we have these dates, and we save this time. We say, no, I need to dedicate this time for my friend because I want to meet him. I'm eager to meet that person. And when you do finally meet them, you make sure that you prepare for meeting them in the correct manner. You are happy to meet them. You are joyous and you share all of the things that's been going on from how many days or weeks or months since you last met. And you share all of those things with them. And you are happy with them. You are content with them. You are at ease with them because there are certain special friends who have that type of relationship with. And then when that friend goes away, you are extremely sad at their parting. When they move away, and you think, فَتَنِيُونَ كَدُمِ الْسَانِ. And you are genuinely, you know, you have this huzn, you have this sorrow within your heart and your mind that perhaps we will never meet again, or you know, who will be here. But then all of these things, you have these emotions going on because you have these special friends in your life. So the same principle applies to you in your salah. How eager are you to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of preparation do you have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you put it in your reminder, in your calendar, that, oh, I'm about to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to share all of my worries and my happiness and all of the good and the bad that's happened to me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you feel a sense of loss and sadness and worry when you finish your salah? Or do none of those emotions and feelings actually come into your mind or into your heart? Because if they come for your friend, if they come for a beloved, if they come for a special person in your life, and you go through all of the range of emotions before meeting them, during your meeting them, and after departing, then why is it that we do not have the same emotions and feelings when we are meeting Rabbul Alameen? When you're meeting our Lord, our Creator, who gave you all of these emotions, who gave you everything that you have, why are we not eager to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would constantly remind the Sahaba ikram, to Sayyidina Bilal, arihna biha, go on, stand up Bilal, do the iqamah, do the azan, give us sukoon, we want to meet our Lord, I want to meet my Lord. And every opportunity that he found, when he was in worry, when he was in distress, he would do sajda and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he was traveling and he would return home, he would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would do wudu, he would pray to nafl of wudu. When he would come to a masjid, he would pray tahiyyatul masjid. Every opportunity the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got, he wanted to share it with his Lord. Because he wanted to share with the most important being, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He felt happiness and joy and peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was always eager to find another opportunity to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. This is the connection of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with his Lord. And we have these connections, but it's with people, or it may be with places. Yes, and we have the sense of sorrow and happiness, but we don't have the same feeling, unfortunately, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzat reminds us in Hadith Qudsi to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, that I am to my slave as he imagines me. That if you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you have this expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is your friend, that He is your yard, that He is your doors, He is your protector, He is your provider, He is your nourisher, He is the one who will give you adl, insaf and justice. Whatever you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come forth for you. That is what He will provide you with, that is what He will give you with. Certain friends can only give us certain things because everything else is not within their capacity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no restrictions. So if you imagine Him in the best of manners, in the best of fashions, whatever you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will receive that and far greater from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want solution, you want guidance, you want purification, you want forgiveness, you want mercy. Whatever you want comfort, you want love, you want kindness, you want compassion. All of those things are waiting for you when you stand before your Lord and say, "Here I am." Why do we say it again and again when we go on Hajj? لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Here I am, oh my Lord, here I am. Because these people are eager, they've been yearning and desiring to go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meet the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because for their entire life they have been praying and praying, they've been sharing their emotions and feelings, finally to realize that this is the maqam where I can truly go and see the ayat and the maqamat and see the true signs and symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get even closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we say labbaik. It's not just a statement, it's not just, you know, something that we say again and again, because it has deep, profound meaning of feelings and emotions that we're finally there meeting our Lord in some manner and form. So this is very, very important. When we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come while you desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while you hope and yearn to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart. Don't just make your salah mechanical and say and do all of those things. Do your salah with your feelings. Do it with your heart. Connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then how can we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a question. Get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via His name. Asma'ul Husna, Asma and Sifat, the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you learn about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, all the way to the end, the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you learn about Allah, the more you'll fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more time you spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you'll want to be engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you know how much happiness and joy and sukoon you can find with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just the same principle in your life. The more you love somebody, the more you want to spend time with them, the more you want to get to know them, the ins and outs and everything about them. And this is what we need to have in our salah. Have this yearning and desire to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Approach your salah with hope. Approach your salah with conviction. Approach your salah with yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to punish you. This is a very important thing that people, when they're growing up, they're just kind of, you know, told all the time, if you do this, Allah will punish you, Allah will punish you, all of these things. Yes, it acts as a deterrent, but in principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no desire, does not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any happiness or joy to punish us at all, whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather, He wants to love us, He wants to encompass us and embrace us, and He wants the best for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, just the other day we were reciting in Taraweeh, مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ, that what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever achieve by putting you in azab, by giving you any punishment? It doesn't benefit or harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. All you need to do, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And standing in salah is an expression of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the life that He gave you on that day. Because one person here today does not have that life, but you have been given this opportunity, this life today. Be grateful for this life. Be grateful for the health. Be grateful for your wealth. Be grateful for your family. Be grateful for every single faculty that you have with you at this very moment in time. And how can you express your gratitude and your shukr? By standing and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ta'ala, and saying, here I am, I'm grateful for everything that you have given me. In shakartum wa amantum, truly believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you truly believe in Allah if you don't know Him? Do you know? How can you truly know somebody if you only know their first name? Now, I know Shahid, but I don't know what his likes and dislikes are. I don't know what his favorite food is. I know that he likes cycling, but so what? That's about it. What more do I know? The more I know about Brother Shahid, the more I'll fall in love with him. The more I'll realize this is how I can get closer to Brother Shahid. So what do you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the majority of us will know very basic, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah is our Lord. Allah created us. Oh, okay. Allah gave us the Quran. Allah sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's about it. That's where our knowledge pretty much stopped with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is so much to learn about our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you learn about Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you will only fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you'll want to just always just be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in tahajjud all the time? Why do you see him standing in the middle of the night? Why do you see him in the morning for ishraq and duha? Why do you see him finding every opportunity to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even though we have 5 salahs in a day, but the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam, if you read carefully, he would on minimum read 50 salahs a day, because that was the original gift given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is his love, and this is the love that we need to have. We can only have that love or receive that love when you express and share that love and those feelings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember and remind yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon himself mercy. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةً. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has decreed mercy upon himself. He wants to be merciful. He wants all of these things, but he needs an excuse to forgive you. Everything is not just given on a silver platter. Here you go. Just because you said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, everything is hunky-dory. No, you have to work for it. You have to find reasons and excuses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Ramadan is a reason for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. The first Ashra, the second Ashra, the third Ashra, Laylatul Qadr, Shab Miraj, all of these nights and days and these months, they're all opportunities given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us his mercy. So subhanallah, how many days, weeks, months or years in a lifetime has it been that we have been praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's been no emotion, there's been no feeling, there's been no true sincerity. We haven't really put down our shield, our barriers, and we've just kind of gone through the motions. We have to change that. If you want to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to make your salah more meaningful, you want to taste the sweetness of your prayer, then share and express your feelings and your emotions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see how the veils are lifted. You will see how your heart will be expanded and how your heart will be illuminated by the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have to do that. If you want your wife to love you more and you want your children to love you more, you have to verbally express that. You have to repeat to them again and again, oh my dear, I love you. Oh my daughter, I love you. Oh my son, I love you. And you express that by buying them things, by sitting down with them, by talking with them. This is the same thing that we have to do and express our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us, but we have to make and take the steps for that forgiveness, to be able to receive that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum. Allah wants to forgive us, but kare to ho, wuzu to sahi karo, namaz to sahi padho, gal to sahi karo. You know, if somebody doesn't speak to you in the right way, they are harsh in their language, they don't even look at you when they're speaking to you, and they're ignoring you, and you know this person is half-hearted, this person is not even making a genuine effort. We dismiss people when they're looking at us and they don't, you know, show that same right amount of adab and ihtiram when they're speaking and addressing us, and we ignore them. We say, wait a minute, I'm not going to help you, I'm not going to listen to you. We do this to human beings. Do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves far better than that? Do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see that our heart's not in there, we're still thinking about something else, we're not even sharing our real worries and problems and feelings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course he knows all of those things. So you have to change yourself, and you have to open your heart and your mind if you truly want to taste the lazza, taste the sweetness and the joy of prayer by connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making a meaningful connection and conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, as I said again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these means, but use those means. Don't waste those means during your lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again in the Quran reminds us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that your Lord says, call out to me. Bolo to say, mango to say, ao to say, as they say in our language, at least come, at least stand properly, at least beg, at least call out to me, implore me, beseech me, call on to me, and I will undoubtedly reply to you, respond to you. But you should call out sursawadnal, as they say in our language. You have to at least call out in the correct manner, with the correct adab, with the correct respect and honor that is befitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's status. You know, if you shout at Imam, oh Imam, Imam, what you listen to, you shall come with a thappad. That's how it will be. So there's etiquettes and mannerisms in everything in day-to-day life. So call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as has been taught to you by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, by perfecting your intentions, by understanding who you are and where you are standing, by perfecting your wudu, by opening your heart and your mind and surrendering yourself truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with adab, ihtiram and love and waqar and humility, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always hearing, Sami'un Basir, is always hearing, is always seeing everything that you do, and he promises, Astajib lakum, I will always respond to you. I will always respond to you. So there's always an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have to ask in the correct way. We have to ask in the correct manner. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, Udu Allaha wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba, that call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certainty and know that He will undoubtedly respond. But ask yourself, myself included, when we call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, majority of the time, it's just half-hearted. Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu alayhi wa rahmatullahi, Rabbana alaka alhamdulillah. It's just half-hearted. It's not with certainty and conviction and absolute yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and seeing me, and He knows who I am and He knows what I'm going through. Because if you had that certainty when you call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your kayfiyyah and your heart would be very, very different. So this is the difference in a normal salah, an ordinary salah, and an extraordinary salah, when we tune our emotions and our feelings, when we truly connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are eager for that conversation and stand before Him wholeheartedly and stand before Him in complete surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have those feelings and own those feelings and be vulnerable, have those emotions and stand firm before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one point that I wanted to share at the beginning of having feelings and emotions in our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next point was very quickly to have raja, which in Arabic language basically means to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But raja is very, very different to amani, because amani in the Arabic language basically means to have hope, yes, but hope without actions. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, but I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to give zakat, I'm not going to do tawbah, I'm not going to do istighfar, but I have this amani that Allah ta'ala will forgive me. But raja is that you have this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then you also go and you do your wudu in the best way. You walk to the masjid in the best of manners. You stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners. You unveil yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You perfect your tajweed, your qira'ah, your recitation, your ruku, your sujood, all of those things. So have that raja in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have that hope in Allah azza wa jal that He will forgive you, He will overlook all of your problems and your shortcomings and your failings, but it has to be accompanied with work, with effort from Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِّمَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. Indeed, I am the perpetual forgiver. I will continue to forgive of whoever repents. And we are all here repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah. And the person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop there. Tawbah karlo and iman raklo and that's sufficient. No, you have to have faith and iman in Allah. And you have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, wa amina salihan. Then you also have to do righteous things. do things in the correct manner, do things in the most excellent and befitting manners to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you will be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then your heart will be guided, your soul will be guided, your mind will be guided, because you are truly doing those things as prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jalla's mercy is divided into 99 parts, 99 portions, and He has given one portion of His mercy on the entirety of earth. So all of the mercy that you see that a mother gives to a child, all the sacrifices that she goes through the gestational period, through her pregnancy, through her labor, and through bringing up her child from the time that a child is born up until the child passes away, a mother's mercy is perpetual and continuous. She will continue to sacrifice everything that she has for her children. So will a father to a certain degree as well. But you see the mercy even in animals, even in the world and everything around us. We see all of this mercy. We see the sacrifices. We see the altruism. We see the selflessness in people for the sake of other people. This is just one portion of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent onto earth. And He has reserved 99 portions of His mercy for the day of Qiyamah. For the day of Qiyamah. Because He knows that we will need that mercy on the day of Qiyamah. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will be there in a state of sajda, even on the day of Qiyamah, bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla will say, irfa' ra'saka ya Muhammad. Raise your head, O Muhammad, O my beloved. And sal, ask whatever you want to ask, and I will give you those things. That is the mercy on that day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower and encompass the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the nation of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So, this is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it is there, but we can receive that mercy only when we accompany our amal, our iman, and our tawbah and istighfar with our righteous amal in the hope and the raja of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how the person who killed 99 individuals, and then he thought I might as well do a century, then he killed 100th person as well, but he did sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. So the point in all of this is that don't think that just because you've been on drugs, you've had alcohol, you've had bad relationships, you've done gambling, you've backbiting or gossiping or cheating or answered back to your parents, or done whatever sins that you have done openly or hiddenly, doesn't matter the sins that you have done, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for you just to stand on the musalla and ask sincerely for His forgiveness and for you to carry out righteous deeds. Ask for that sincere forgiveness in your salah. Open your heart and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will encompass you in His mercy. Share your feelings and your emotions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the message for today's salah, that have true feelings for Allah azza wa jalla. Have true emotions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your conversation and yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala true and sincere, and have raja and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will listen to you, He will respond to you, and He will forgive you. But that raja, that hope, has to be accompanied with righteous actions as well. So inshallah al-Aziz, we'll continue tomorrow with more aspects of developing our salah inshallah, and then we'll go on to the next bit, because we've done intentions and wudu, and then now we'll go on to our attire, our libas, our grooming, and our physical preparation before we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan.